off the top of your head, just a few thoughts, not asking for anything deep, but a few thoughts. What's inspiration? She says guidance, yes. Okay, anyone else?
To inspire, to do something better.
Okay, Royce?
When you talk about the inspiration that we read about in the Bible, it's the literature for God breathed word to us.
Okay.
So it is infallible.
Okay, good, good. So we're talking spiritually, of course. Brian, you want to say something? You. Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. Anyone else? Yes.
The Bible terms inspire means to breathe in, just as to inspire means to breathe out. So when we're inspired, we're breathing in God's word.
Okay. Good. 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 If you see the photo, the slide rather, and you see the individuals, they have their heads up and their leaning back, and what are they doing? What do you think they're doing? I mean, sometimes we spend so much time on the inside and don't get to breathe the air on the outside, but there's some beautiful air on the outside, but there's some beautiful air on the inside where God is. So let's ask a question. How does God communicate? That's what we want to talk about on tonight. How does God communicate? How does he communicate? All right, and so we'll talk about that, and we'll consider some things. And as we're considering some things, we want to ask ourselves, is God still communicating the same way as he did before? And how does God communicate today, sir? All right. Okay. Okay. Getting chatter already. All right. Yeah. All right. Number one, let's go to Psalm 19. Number one, God communicates through his creation. God communicates through his creation. Through his creation. Let's see what the Bible has to say, and we'll look at a few things, consider some things, have a healthy conversation about what thus saith the Lord. Now notice, the heavens declare, the idea of declaring there is rehearsal or chatter. The heavens rehearse, chatter the glory of God, and the firmament shows his needlework. His needlework, his handiwork. Literally in the Hebrew is needlework. Day unto day utters speech. The word utter there is the idea of belching out, belches out. And night unto night reveals, the idea there is to tell or to declare knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard, where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. Now, I know we live in a time where people are struggling with their pronouns. But you cannot understand God's word without understanding pronouns. And man does not have the right to redefine pronouns. Why? Because God is the God of language. And so when we look at the pronoun there, what is there referring to according to verse number 4? Their words to the end of the earth. Who are the there? Look at the text. Let's think. I can't hear you. The heavens. The heavens, and what else? The firmament. Okay, we're speaking here. The heavens and the firmament. They're speaking. That's interesting. They're speaking. They're speaking. All right? They're speaking. Friends, we cannot understand God. We cannot understand his will unless we know language. Now, notice the text again. Notice the text again. The heavens declare, rehearse, talk, chatter, the glory of God, and the firmament shows his needlework, his handiwork. When you think of the firmament, you think of the expanse, solar system, those are things that are flying in the air where the birds fly, all right? Day unto day belches out, utters speech. We know that this is figurative language, okay? Night unto night reveals, tells, declares knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. What is the psalmist saying there? What is the psalmist saying there? There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. All right. Eric says, hear it everywhere. What do you mean by that? Be more specific.
You can hear his word anywhere.
All right. No, that's not it. Anyone else? Okay, the beauty of the created earth is a language of its own. Let's go a little further than that. That's good.
It can be understood by
anyone. Be more specific. Anyone?
Any person can see the design of
the
creation.
Where? Where? What location?
On earth.
On earth, where?
Anywhere.
Anywhere where? Let's be more specific. That's general. You're right, but where?
Yosemite National Park.
So, exactly. I'm not making this hard. I'm not making this hard for you because you think in Japan, in China, in Russia, Ukraine, wherever man is, they can look at the sky and look at the firmament and it's speaking the same thing to them in their language. God is speaking. God's creation speaks. Guess what it screams out? There is a God, or there's a creator. All right? There's a creator. God is speaking. All right? We see this in Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Brian, when you get that, read that. And also, Mark, get Job 12, verses 7 through 9. And Don, get Luke 19, verse 40. Luke 19, verse 40. The Bible speaks in figures of speech, figurative language. The one that I want Brother Brian to read is very powerful. Read, Brother Brian, what does the Bible say?
Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made,
the creation leaves man without excuse. The very fact that you see trees, the very fact that you see animals, the very fact that you see the creation, it is screaming out, I did not make myself. Which means that man has an obligation, even if he doesn't believe that the Bible is the word of God. He has an obligation to find out, figure out who created what I'm looking at. Yes, sir.
Well, I want to do what you did to us and get more specific on that language that the earth hears, where there's no speech or language. We hear that language all across the globe. He's at Yosemite Park. That's very interesting because every culture speaks the language of the earth by nature.
That's right. By nature.
They know how to farm. They know how to
That's right.
eat. They know how, and who gave us the ability to discern that? American Indians may have called it the great spirit in the sky or whatever, but they still recognized that there was something in a language spoken to them.
That's right.
Now, was it redemptive language?
No. Don't you go there. Don't you go there. Brian has next week, so settle down. Settle down. Okay. All right. Job 12, verses 7 through 9. Now, listen to this language and the figurative aspects of it. Read loud, brother.
But now ask the beasts, and they will teach you, and the birds of the air, and they will tell you. Or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, and the fish of the sea will explain to you. Who among all these does not know the hand of the Lord has done this?
Did y'all hear that? Now, we know that Job, through inspiration, and is not talking literally. must be a figure of speech. Why? Because only mankind has conscience. Only mankind can use language, can use words. All right? We're the only ones of God's creation that has the honor and the glory to be able to use words. But the figure of speech is being used there. It's the same as the heavens and the earth and the things that we see. Yosemite Park. Okay, I'm going to use that. That's good. I like that. But the beast of the field, the fish in the waters, they talk. Birds of the air, they talk. What do they say? I didn't create myself. I didn't create myself. Brother Don, Luke chapter 19, verse 40. Notice what the Lord says. If man won't speak, these stones will say, this is the Lord. It's a figure of speech. All right? It's a figure of speech. What are we learning already about inspiration and how God communicates? Yes, sir. Right.
Where he says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
That's right.
We can look at the design that we have in the world. I'm not going too far beyond this, but we have design in the world that speaks that there is a God, a creator who made everything in it, including the human being, the intricacy of the human eye.
That's right. Right. I learned this morning that that the human body is energy in motion even after death. Why? Because even after death, the body is still energized to the point where it's turning to dust. The body is amazing. Y'all ponder that for a little bit. Let's think about something else. Dreams, visions. God communicates through dreams and visions. Let's look at Numbers chapter 12. In Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, in Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, we find out God's way of communicating. Don't have time to really look at all of this. This is the context of Miriam, Aaron, and Moses when they spoke against him concerning him marrying an Ethiopian woman. And they told Moses, hath not God spoken unto us? Has he only spoken unto you? And the Lord heard it and got very upset with them. And the Bible teaches us in verse number 5, then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both went forward. Now, notice what God said. Notice what God said. Hear now my words. If there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in what? In a vision. I speak to him in a what? In a dream. God would be speaking through visions and dreams. Now, he didn't speak that way to Moses. He spoke to Moses in what way? Face to face. Even though Moses was his lawgiver. He was the one that was a mediator between he and Israel. But he spoke to prophets through visions and dreams. Notice Genesis 40. Genesis 40, put in your notes verses 1 through 23, but we want to focus in on verse number 8. Genesis 40, and we're just making little notes on how God communicated. All right, on how God communicated. Here we understand that the prisoners of this particular time had dreams, both of them, according to verse number 5. They didn't know the interpretation of the dream. Notice what Joseph says about dreams. And they said to him, we each had a dream, and there is no interpretation of it. How did Joseph respond? What did he say? Verse 8. Do not interpretations belong to God? Just because someone had a dream doesn't mean that they could interpret it. As a matter of fact, they couldn't. As a matter of fact, the dream or vision was interpreted by someone else, not the person that actually had it. All right? Now, let's consider this, because when you think about this, Joseph was the one that was given the interpretation of their dreams. Y'all remember that? What about the baker? What about what was the other one? The butler. Could they interpret their own dreams? Who had to interpret their dreams? Joseph. All right, now watch this. Even God's men, their God's prophets, when they had visions and dreams, they could not interpret them themselves. Someone else had to do it. Look at Daniel chapter 7. Y'all stay with me, because I'm going somewhere with this. So when you think about these modern day dreamers, they always want to give the dream that they have. And it's interesting how they have the interpretation of it too. We're a bunch of liars. That's what they are. It's time for us to start calling them what they are. Daniel chapter 7 and verse number 1. Notice. Who wants to read Daniel 7 verse 1? Anyone? Who feels comfortable doing that?
In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions in his head while on his bed. And he wrote down the dream, telling the main fact.
So here we see that Daniel had a dream. Let's go to chapter 8, Brother Royce. And let's look at verse number 16. Verse 16. You go back and you read the rest of it, but I want to show you this. Go ahead and read verse 16, brother.
And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai, who called and said, Gabriel, make this man understand.
Even Daniel could not interpret his own dream. Gabriel had to come and interpret it for him. Brian, you see that? That's interesting. Nowhere do you find a man receiving a vision or a dream, God is communicating with them, and they themselves receive the or are able to interpret it themselves. What I'm saying is that if we have dreams, don't be saying that's God speaking to me. It don't work that way. All right? And a lot of times people say, well, God spoke to me in such and such and told me I need to go begin a congregation. That wasn't a dream. That's a nightmare. Because it don't work that way. I'm not trying to be funny, but it is what it is. And so God is working through visions and dreams, but he's also interpreting them through other individuals. Next one. God communicates through revelation and inspiration. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And this is where we begin to further our understanding concerning inspiration. Inspiration. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16. Put this in your notes if you're taking notes. Because when we think about revelation and inspiration, it's important to understand that the Bible is revelation plus inspiration, and revelation plus inspiration equals the Bible. Let me say that again. The Bible is revelation plus inspiration, and revelation plus inspiration equals the Bible. You can't have the Bible without revelation and inspiration, where God reveals, yet the apostles are inspired. Okay? God is revealing his will. He's revealing his will. All right? So when God reveals his word, it's revelation. When the apostles and prophets write and speak, it's inspiration, being inspired. All right, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's look at verses 9 through 16. Who wants to read? Who wants to read? Yes.
But as it is written, I was not seen nor hear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows, the things of man, except the spirit of man, which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of who is from God, that we might know the things that would have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is the spiritual judges of all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Great job. Appreciate that. Verse number 9, people always want to say, well, he's talking about heaven. Heaven is nowhere in the context. He's not talking about heaven. He's talking about a revelation. God revealing his will through the Holy Spirit. We see that in verse 10. But God has revealed revelation, them to us through his Spirit. Now notice, it is the Spirit, Holy Spirit, that searches the deep things of God. Why? Because he himself is God. But notice the verse number 12. Now we have received this, not the spirit of the world, the mind of the world, but the mind, the spirit, is from God, who is from God. In order that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. How can I know what's in the mind of God? God has to tell me. How do I know what's in the mind of Maya? She has to tell me. Even if her action says one thing, she still has to put words to it. How do I know what's in a man's mind? They have to tell us. They have to use words. They have to use language. Look at verse number 13. This proves that. These things we speak also, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for he is foolish, for they are foolish, to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, why can't the one who is not spiritual truly understand the spiritual things of God? Because they're carnal minded. They're worldly. They are allowing carnality to keep them from truly understanding the will of God. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James, the Lord's brother, has this to say. As it relates to truly getting into the mind of God. James chapter 1, verse 21. James chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the engrafted or implanted word which is able to save your soul. Before I can receive the implanted word that's has the ability to save my soul, what must I do before that? Say again? I got to put away, according to the verse, what? Filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Wow. Anyway, do y'all get that? Yes, sir. Yes. 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 Receive with meekness, but you got to put some stuff away. Put in your notes if you're taking notes. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Before that, he said, you need to put some things away. You got to put some things away so you can truly understand what the will of the Lord is. All right. But going back to that 1 Corinthians chapter 2, how do I know it's in the mind of God? The only way I can know what's in the mind of God, here it is. God has to reveal it. God has to tell us. In what way did God choose to tell mankind his will? Through his word, the Bible, the word of God. Not trying to be ugly, not trying to be mean. It's not the catechism. It's not the Baptist manual. It's not the creed books. It's not the Vedas. It's not the, what are some other books? Say again? It's not commentaries. What else? Quran. It's not the horoscopes. Oh, sir, ma'am? I can't hear you. The Book of Mormon. We're not trying to be ugly. Just call it what it is. He didn't choose those books. Those are not his books. The Bible, the Word of God. And when we understand that, then we know how God spoke. Okay? God spoke through his inspired word. All right? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, this is where we've been wanting to get. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse number 16 and 17. Brother Royce, do you mind reading that? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. What does the Bible say? Some scripture. Some scripture. Oh, all scripture. I just want to make sure that you, I mean, I just make sure you didn't have a short memory, short-term memory moment. Don't say that. Go ahead. It's interesting that he says all scripture is given by, here's our word, God breathe. God breathe. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it has a profitability to it. So when we think about the scriptures, the writings, the graphe, that comes from the very mind of God that the apostles and prophets wrote down for posterity's sake. Friends, God was the one that gave his word. Look at Job 32 and verse number 8. Job 32 and verse number 8. Job 32 and verse number 8. The idea of God breathed, to inhale, to breathe in, to blow into, to breathe upon, a figure to inflame. Job 32, verse 8. Who has that? Job 32, verse 8.
But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding.
And the breath gives him understanding. Breath. Does anyone have the King James rendering? Inspiration. 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 Same idea, which means that I nor anyone else have the responsibility to breathe in graphe and call it from God. It's not. We can't do that. OK, Second Peter, chapter one. Second Peter, chapter one, verses 19 through 21. Let's see the type of men that God used in order to get his word spoken and written. Second Peter, you have your brother Scott. Second Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. Listen to the words closely.
And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
So prophecy never came by the will of man, but, notice what he goes on to say, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Have you ever heard this from people? Well, mere men wrote the Bible. Have y'all heard that before? How should you correct them?
The Holy Spirit.
Just use the Bible. Don't add nothing to it. Holy men. Holy men. God did not use mere men to spread his word, to write his word, to speak his word. Holy men. There's an adjective in front of man. Holy. Meaning that they were set apart from sin, meaning that they were set apart for the will of God, which means that Peter as he is writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, must have been a holy man himself. And so God uses holy men, and they were born along, carried along by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 5 and verse 3 and 4, he's God. Yes, sir. Please. Yes. Good point. Good point. Good. So God did not use mere men. God used holy men. And the very fact that he used holy men should give us great encouragement that the word of God that we have is God's word. Any comments? Sir. That's the text. That's exactly right. That's the text.
Double powerful word that he was so holy that it was created and it's been so strong that it's still going these days because it's still God speaking to us.
How?
Through his word.
Through his word. Through his word. Any comments? Anyone else? Anyone else? Anybody have anything?
Well, yes.
Go ahead.
Things that don't belong to us. Daniel's even told at the end of his prophecy, leave alone, seal up the book, it's not your time, you've done your job. And he was not told everything, and he weeps.
That's right.
And so you and I may become similarly in some senses mindful of the deep things that we don't possess that yet belong to God. There are things that we don't know, and we need to probably talk about that some too.
Yes, sir. That's right. Let's go to Deuteronomy 29:29, where Brother Brian is. I'm just going to touch on it and ask him to deal with that next week. Okay? I mean, we tag team pretty good. But notice the language, okay? Notice the language that Brother Brian had brought out. The secret things, okay, that which is hidden, if you will, okay? The secret things belong to who? The Lord our God. And usually when preachers or teachers are teaching, they stop right there. But you just got to keep going. But notice, but those things which are what? There it is. God, what are you teaching us? Whatever I have left you in the word, that's all you're going to get. And I find it very interesting when you have those who want you to come to them for knowledge and they always seem to see something in the text that nobody else sees. And shut up. Get somewhere to sit down. It hasn't been revealed. And if it hasn't been revealed, guess what? I can't follow it. And if I follow something that has not been revealed, I'm going to end up just like Adam and Eve. I'm going to be cast out. That's exactly it right there. That's exactly it. Now notice what he says. But those things which are revealed, the idea of revealed in the Hebrew literally means to be uncovered, uncovered, belong to us and to our children forever that we may what? Do. You can't do anything that has not been uncovered. And so what's the purpose for inspiration? God wants us to do the words of his law. He wants us to do his will. All right? God wants us to do his law. He wants us to do his will. Yes, sir. I want to go back to that 1 Corinthians chapter 2 real quick. I was thinking about something. We have about 15 minutes or so. And the main point we want to get across is that God has revealed his will. It has been written down for posterity, meaning generations, and we can trust it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, notice the Bible here communicates to us, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 12 and 13, now we have received not the spirit of the world, the mind of the world, but the spirit who is from God, the mind that is from God. For what purpose? In order that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now, look at verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words, which man's wisdom, that's the context, really, when you think of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the wisdom of the world versus the wisdom of God. Okay? We're still battling in that even today. Not in words which man's wisdom teach, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, combining or comparing spiritual things, the ASV says, with spiritual words. How do we know what God wants us to know unless God communicates through words? Mitchell, you mind reading? Look at John 6:63. Watch this. John 6:63. Jesus said something about his words. That's why when you think about his words, these are not just mere words, friends. The Bible, the word of God, they're not just mere words. They have great substance behind them. Go ahead. John 6:63. That's good right there. Now, notice, Jesus said, what about his words? They are what and they are what? They are spirit and they are life. Do you know that when you're reading the word of God and you're understanding the word of God, you have life going into your heart? You got life going into you. It's a powerful thought process. It's another way that God communicates through preaching and teaching. Real quick, not minimizing this by any stretch of the imagination, but want to hurry and get through some of these points. Look at verse number 18. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18. How does God communicate? For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Watch this. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Drop down to verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message, what, friends? Preached to save those who believe. God is communicating through preaching. God communicates through preaching. No wonder he tells his disciples, go into all the world and do what with the word? Preach the word. Preach the word. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Young preacher, you're getting me going. Calm down. But I want you to look at Acts 15. In Acts 15, verse 35, Acts 15, verse 35. So we have preaching, but we also have teaching. Start at verse 34. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. Paul and Barnabas also remain in Antioch. What were they doing? Teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many other also. You can go all through the scriptures. You can look at verse number 28 or chapter 28, verse 31. You got teaching, preaching and teaching, teaching and preaching. God used preaching and teaching in order to get his message out. All right? Friends, I'm not being ugly, but not dramas, not plays and skits. God didn't use stuff like that. That's mankind coming up with the entertainment, trying, well, we can reach the masses. That's foolishness. God doesn't use that. He used the word of God. Okay, and so when a man is preaching, he needs to be preaching the word. That's not the time for the man to get up there and talk about where he went on vacation. He's preaching the word. And so it's through preaching and teaching God is going to save those who believe. Now, watch this point. Verbal inspiration. Verbal inspiration. Inspiration is not based on feeling and emotions. Inspiration is not based upon feelings and emotions. God cares about your feelings. Don't mistake God. But it's not about your feelings and emotions when it comes to the revelation of God's word. God says what he says. One thing I learned from an old preacher, he said one time, one thing about truth, truth don't care about you. Because truth is truth. That's why we need grace and mercy. Because we need something that's going to soften it up a little bit. Truth is still truth. But that grace, which that favor and that mercy, I'm not giving you what you deserve, that's what helps us. So inspiration is not based on feeling or emotion. Inspiration is not based upon paintings and art. It's not based upon poetry. It's not based upon experiences and magnificent events when you go to Yosemite Park. Oh, this is inspiring. Oh, God is speaking to me. Stop. He's not. But you hear it all the time. I know the Lord spoke to me there. Right. It don't work that way, friends. God speaks to you and me the same way. Brother Stephen, through this great book, the Word of God. It's the only way. God is, the Holy Spirit didn't come down and tap you on your head and get in your heart. It's interesting. False teachers always say, Brother Modewell, about 2 a.m, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and now I come to speak to you. Why 2 a.m? I guess that's when he was up. It's dumb, but that's what you hear. Friends, verbal inspiration, the idea of verbal meaning words, all right? In Jeremiah 10, verse number 23, Jeremiah says, O Lord, I know that the way of man, watch this, is not in himself. Inspiration is not in man. It's in God. And God gives revelation to man and inspires him to write. And so the message of God are words, verbal. Okay, God uses words. He communicates through words. All right. Any comments? Mm-hmm. Problem is that God didn't say that. Yes. Yes. Yes.
And they need that. They need God to be physically accessible to them in that manner in order to believe in him.
That's right. And it's the same way even in the Lord's church concerning miracles. Brethren want miracles. They just want God to touch them. And well, I know that had been God and miraculous. Well, hold on. In order for something to be miraculous, it has to supersede natural law. Which we have an example of that in John 11 with Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Man was dead 4 days. Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. He superseded natural law. 1 Kings 2 and verse number 2, we know that when man dies, he goes to the grave. He ain't coming out until the resurrection. Or it's a manipulation of natural law, as we have an example in Exodus chapter 14 with the parting of the Red Sea, where God uses a strong east wind and he parts the Red Sea and they cross over on dry ground. Superseding of natural law, manipulation of natural law. Neither one of those are happening today. Can't happen today. Plus, you got a clear passage of Mark 16:20, and you got the reason for miracles. And Evelyn, that's to confirm the word. Question, does the word of God need to be confirmed today? The answer is no. We have the word of God. Doesn't need to be confirmed. Yes, sir.
Does the Christ need to be crucified?
That's a good point.
The reality is, even though all the miracles that were done, it didn't convince everybody.
That's right. Yeah.
But it's going to be that last day.
That's right. That's right. All right. Notice this one. Biblical inspiration is verbal inspiration, which means that when you think of when you think about this, God's word, or God gave his word into the mouth of men. God used men's minds and mouths in order to get his word across. Real quick, Jeremiah 1 and verse number 9. And someone get Jeremiah 5 and verse number 14. And someone else get 2 Samuel 23 and verse number 2. Jeremiah 5 and verse number 14. 2 Samuel 23 and verse number 2. In Jeremiah 1 and verse number 9, notice the man of God, Jeremiah, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. God put his words into the mouth of Jeremiah. Jeremiah would take those words and speak them. All right? Jeremiah 5, verse 14, who has that? Go ahead. So he was going to put his words into his mouth. 2 Samuel 23, verse 2. Who has that? Read that. Come on now. Who has that?
The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue.
All right. So here God is using men in order to get his word across. All right. Biblical inspiration is verbal inspiration, not based upon feelings, not based upon emotions, not based upon what man thinks. It's based upon the word of God. All right. Put these in your notes for time's sake. Matthew 4, verse number 4, which is a quote from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Jesus says this, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. All right. Numbers 36 and verse number 5. In Acts 1 and verse number 16, the Holy Spirit will be using the mouth of David to speak the message of God. All right. Acts 1 and verse number 16, Numbers 36, verse 5. All right. Biblical inspiration is complete inspiration. Do we have the word of God? That's the question. If we don't have the word of God, Brother Royce, God lied to us. If we don't have the word of God, then what do we have? Here's a question. Does the Bible contain the word of God? Think about that before you answer it. Does the Bible contain the word of God? The Bible is the word of God. It doesn't contain the word of God. The Bible is the word of God. Okay? And so when we think of it, so, and you're going to hear people say, well, you know, the Bible contains the word of God. No, it doesn't. 97 times Moses declared the word of the Lord. He said, the Lord said. 97 times. 120 times Moses wrote, the Lord spake. So 97 times Moses declared, the Lord said. 120 times Moses wrote, the Lord spake. Okay? Look at 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 14. Very familiar passage of scripture. Very familiar passage of scripture. Whoever gets that, go ahead and read it. We'll come across a man by the name of Micaiah, and he said something very powerful. He said something very powerful. 1 Kings 22 and verse 14, who has that? That's it right there, right. Shouldn't that be the plea of every eldership in the world? Whatever the Lord has revealed in his will, that's what's coming out of this pulpit. Brother Don Cheek, he prays that all the time about this pulpit and how sound doctrine, we hope that sound doctrine is always preached from this pulpit. Isn't that your prayer, Brother Don? All the time. I believe that the Lord's answering that prayer. All the time. Okay? And so when a man of God speaks, he must be speaking the oracles of God. All right. And so biblical inspiration is complete inspiration. There's another word for complete. It's called plenary. Plenary. Okay. Didn't want to put that word up there because I would have had to explain it. But complete revelation. Look at Psalm 119, 160. Who has ASV in here? Who has the ASV? American Standard Version. No one? You can get it? You have what? ESV. Psalm 119, 160. Psalm 119, 160. What does that say?
The sum of thy word is truth, and every one of thy righteous ordinances endureth forever.
The sum of thy word is truth. All of God's word is truth. None of God's word is false. Okay? Put in your notes Luke 24, verse 27, and Luke 24, verse 44. When God was speaking to those, Brother Royce, on the road to Emmaus, he began with the writings of Moses, and he went through all of the prophets concerning him. He left no prophecy untouched when he was talking to those on the road to Emmaus. All right. So the Bible is the complete word of God. It's not, it doesn't contain the word of God. It is the complete word of God. We'll end with this. Go to John 16, 13. I want to ask a question. John 16, 13. And Brother Brian will continue our thoughts for next week. John 16, 13. And let's ask this question. Matter of fact, we'll start at verse 12. We'll end at verse 13. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now, which means that there was more information that Jesus wanted to give his apostles, i.e. disciples. Verse 13, however, when he, notice that pronoun, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into some of the truth. Is that what your Bible say? What does it say? Does all still mean all? In Ephesians 1 and verse 3, all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. You know what that teaches? There are no spiritual blessings where? Outside of Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit had a work to do according to this text, according to what Jesus is speaking. And he was going to guide the apostles into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Friends, the Bible, the word of God, is the complete word of God. And so when we consider God's word, this is just part one of inspiration. And can we trust the Bible? The answer to the question is we can trust the Bible. The Bible is the word of God. Any comments? That's right. That's right. Anyone else? Anyone else?